You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Welcome to the house. Good Wednesday morning to you. Hope you're in the mood to get smart today. Yeah. Because that's what we're doing. The Battlefield Study, thanks to Duffy White, has to get rolled a week. But such is life, alright? But like any good... like any good host, you're going to get smart today. One is Roger Turner, who I'm trying to get on the show. And he's pissing me off, to be honest with you. Brigadier General, United States Marine Corps. we're going to get him on the program. We'll also, he's just back from Helmand. We'll also get Chris Giddings back. He's just back from Iraq. So, Chris Colonel, United States Marine Corps. Yeah, I see... I taught these guys, so they can't blow me off, although Turner's doing a good job of it. Anyway, Turner's dancing on the edge, just so everybody knows. But Turner was at Brookings earlier this month and sat down with Michael O'Hanlon. Now, for those of you that follow defense stuff, Michael O'Hanlon of the Brookings Institute, which John Allen runs now. How about that shit, man? He wrote a piece with Ryan Crocker. Yeah, that's some heavy duty shit. It was entitled A Modest But Enduring Syrian Strategy for President Trump. I'll put that up on the read board today. But O'Hanlon, he's serious shit. Anyway, senior fellow foreign policy at the Brookings Institute, Center for 20th Century Security and Intelligence. He's the Director of Research for Foreign Policy, and he's the Sidney Stein Jr. Chair, Michael O'Hanlon, O'Hanlon. So O'Hanlon, he's a heavy hitter. Ryan Crocker, ambassador to every country in the Middle East. Okay, so Crocker is Marine endorsed. Okay, was made an honorary Marine in 2012, and you got a guy like Ben Connable who works for RAND, who's an intel guy, prior enlisted 0331. So, Connable, he's a brain too, but he's legit, all right? He's a normal human being, Marine type. When he says Ryan Crocker's legit, then you got it is what it is. So anyway, O'Hanlon interviews Turner at Brookings. So we'll go ahead and we're gonna listen to that. And I'll stop it and comment. But the reason why this is important is because we're going to start the focus a little bit. You know, there's much made about, you know, the changing of war in the 21st century, blah, 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 blah. Rail guns that shoot, you know, essentially metal darts, you know, farther than the range of an aircraft. Okay, so I was talking to somebody who's going to be on the program tomorrow, right, that you're familiar with, Alex Hollings of SoftRep. So Hollings has been writing about that. So he and I kind of were messaging back and forth. I said, okay, well, how do you acquire a target? So that means somebody's got to find somebody. Well, the satellites. So the satellites are going to be the first thing that goes right in the next war. Zap, 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 everything goes dark. What? Now, so you're going to light off your organic radar on your ship now that our satellites are gone. So our essentially the way we've tracked shit goes away. I mean, I would think in the next pier, or it's so degraded that you can't use it, or it's been hacked into and they're simulating targets where there isn't shit. Uh-oh, satellites. So protecting that infrastructure, can you do that? Does all it takes is somebody to launch something, you know, a space shuttle with some kind of a weapon on it? And you go up there and you start zapping satellites? Or do you even need to launch a space shuttle? Can you launch an ICBM that instead of coming back, you target a satellite? And you put proximity fuse, you don't even have to hit it, blow up in the vicinity, right? Get it off orbit, jack with it, I don't know. Are those things hardened? I don't think they are. So now you lost all your GPS, you lost all your satellites, zap, 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 they're done. So now you're down to how do you acquire targets? The old-fashioned way with radar? Well, we all know that you light off your radar, somebody's going to shoot a HARM missile that seeks radiation and blow that shit up. So in a peer-to-peer war, what does it look like? So anyway, so in preparation for that, I wanted you to hear what Roger Turner has to say about advising. So what's significant about what Turner says about advising? Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you a little tease. I think Turner makes significant comments about advising in order to enable the force as opposed to creating dependency on the force. So I think you need to listen to that, and that's important. So because you can go and quote-unquote advise, right, but what you're really doing is you're shooting supporting arms for them. Okay, and if you're not developing those capabilities for them, if they're not planning it, if they're not doing it all, then you're creating dependency, right, on your supporting arms, your aviation support, your ISR support. So you're going to hear him make points about that. That's one. Two, so how you advise is significant. The second thing you're going to hear is in order for the United States to have a persistent presence in places like Afghanistan, so that we don't get shoved into a corner and say, you know what, we can't sustain this anymore. Fiscally, we can't sustain it. Okay? It has to be done to meet two taskmasters. One is the American people do not want many of their sons or daughters killed when we've been at war for so long. So you've got to find a way to do it and keep people safe. Because the country, it is our center of gravity. When the American public tires of it, because it's gone on too long, you've got to be sensitive to that. But if you're going to sustain what you fought for, if you're going to see it through, if you're going to win the peace, then you've got to find a way to do that. If you look at what happened in Iraq around Mosul, If you look at what happened in Syria, right, you did not read very many stories of Americans being killed. Now, I will tell you this. It's not that the soft community is not taking casualties. And you tend not to hear about them until somebody gets killed. And then you hear about them. But again, the Department of Defense deserves high marks because that number has been very low. That number has been very low. So he makes comments about that as well, in terms of fiscally being able to do it so you can sustain it for the long term. So Turner makes points that I think are worth listening to. So and you'll enjoy it. He's I'm going to throw up the shell. Well, I'll tell you what. In the blog right now, I will I'll put the slide that he uses. So if you're going to listen and you want to, he throws up a PowerPoint slide that has a series of points that he speaks to at the start of his little pitch. So kind of Marine Corps briefing 101. With Roger Turner. So you'll hear that. So I'll post that. And then after that, you're going to hear the comment on the Marine Corps. I love these things because they're long format interviews. It's not the commandant with the soundbite, blah, 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 blah. It's him getting a chance to answer in long format the Marine Corps, how, you know, his job of the Marine Corps and national defense policy. Where are we? Okay. And so you get, you know, we'll get a chance to listen to him talking about Marine Corps aviation. We'll talk about the challenges of peer-to-peer warfare. We'll talk about the challenges of preparing for peer-to-peer warfare when you still have a foot in other theaters that aren't peer-to-peer warfare. And that's a serious event, and you gotta sustain that. So we'll hear the commandant after that. So and both are, I've listened to both. Both are really interesting interviews, and they'll make you smart. So and one thing we love to do here on All Marine Radio. So good morning. If you haven't seen the Yankees play lately, unbelievable. Getting younger and getting better. When was the last time you saw the Yankees play where they didn't have a bunch of overpriced hired guns? Well, get ready for it, sports fans, because it's coming to a theater near you. They're all young. Most of them have come through their farm system, and they can rip it. It's awesome to watch, I'm telling you. So fired up about that. What else am I fired up? I'm fired up about something else, but I don't know. I can't remember it. I was going to write it down. I probably should have, but I didn't. So that's going to be this morning. And then tomorrow, as I said, Alex Holling is going to join us. So we'll talk to him. We'll get an old man fitness update, which we love to do. We'll get a parenting update, which we also love to do with Alex because he's a new father. We'll see if there's anything new on the arson investigation. That case has turned cold. But at some point, that arsonist will slip up. Somebody tried to burn his house down. Yeah. Case has gone cold, though. But I'm not, let me tell you, I'm not letting it go. The, I got an email. Well, I'll save that for later. And then there was one other thing. Yeah, the Yankees en fuego. That's on fire for those of you listening in SAP. Get ready for the shit show for the Secretary of the Veterans Administration. Admiral Jackson says, yeah, I'm not pulling out just because people are saying shit about me. Let's do this in public. We're like, oh shit. Nice. So everybody's going to get their shit thrown in the street, and we're going to fight about it. So that'll be interesting. The president gave him an out. Not sure if he wants to go through with it. So what you expected was, I'm withdrawing my name from consideration. And he said, nah, man, let's burn it down in public. I have to tell you, I like that. Any time that we have public burn down, you want to be a part of it. All right. So that's what we're doing this morning. We'll check news headlines here in a few minutes. National Anthem brought to you this morning by the President's Own, the United States Marine Corps Band. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to the women in the Marine Corps that are 18, 19, 20 that decide I'm going to be a grunt, okay, who walk into that environment and say, yeah, I'll do that, all right? They are different girls, and their courage to do that kind of shit is off the hook. Wish them all the best of luck. The email I got that I was going to talk about was from somebody who said, hey, Mac, listen to your show and check it out. We got a couple of females in our company now, and I won't name the company. We went on a hike yesterday. Guess who fell out and guess who didn't fell out? I think fallout would be the right term to use. That's right. Dudes falling out. Females hanging in there. How do you live that one down? Yeah. Hashtag time for some good old-fashioned humiliation. Yo, bro, you're falling out and she's not. Get your ass up there. All right? Yeah, as one of my buddies already said this morning, you're not going to live that one down ever, ever. And I told, and I texted back, when I was at the basic school, we did a war that might have lasted 3.5 days, okay? Nobody worked on the weekends back then. They do now. They didn't then. So you would go into the field Monday afternoon. Get in your assembly areas, get all your shit and get ready. And then you'd be come out of the field Thursday evening. So about 3.5 days. And then Friday, you know, you're accounting for ammunition and all the rest of that stuff. Anyway, it rained and snowed during this event. Okay. He got medevaced. Okay. So boyfriend and girlfriend at the time, they'll later marry. Okay. I'd gone to OCS with both of them. He gets medevac for hyperthermia during the war. She's pregnant. She didn't tell anybody, of course, right? She's a baller. She doesn't tell anybody. She does the whole war. Marine Corps, hua. So I often wondered how that played out in that marriage. Like, so you're in an argument, right? Why can't you, this is him, why can't you balance a checkbook? It's not that hard. And then her sitting there going, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I suck at balancing the checkbook. But you know what? At least I'm not a pussy, man. At least I didn't cheese dick out of the war. even when I was pregnant.
Hey, it was cold, I got wet.
Okay, tough guy. Time for you to shut up. So, this is dedicated to those girls, those female Marines, right, that walk into that environment that is 99% male and say, I'll try this. I often say what makes the Marine Corps different is when young people are looking at different services and they see, you know, we're the smart service, that would be the Air Force, all right, join the Navy, see the world, be all you can be. I think that's, is that the name, Joa? Maybe that's the Army, be all you can be. But anyway, see the world. Navy, HUA. Army of one, be all you can be, blah, 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 blah. Marine Corps, right? And what you see is the craziness. You see extremely angry people with their eyes bugging out of their head. You see recruits looking scared shitless. And then the group of people that says, I'll do that one. I'll do D. Well, what about A, B, and C? Yeah, those aren't for me. I think D is for me. Okay, that's a, like I've always said, that's a different cat. Okay? The female who says, I'll do D, and then the recruiter says, yeah, but A, B, and C are not as hostile as D. Yeah, I want to do D. I'll still take D. And, oh, by the way, I've read that, like, you could be, like, I could be, like, an infantry Marine. I want to do that. Okay? She's, like, off the hook crazy. Right? She is. Okay. Now, who knows if she can do it? And we'll find out. But, you know, you cannot help but tip your helmet to that type of, I'll try that shit. Yeah, but you know it's going to be difficult and there's going to be all kind of... Yeah, I'll try that. I'm up for it. Yeah, she's probably all right at a party, huh? She's probably a pretty good time. Fearless, right? Fearless. So, anyway, regardless of what you think of whether the Marine Corps ought to have women in the combat arms, that ship has sailed as our civilian leaders have defined it. Now it's a question of, can you cut it? Can you do it? So, to those women who try that, this is dedicated to you, right? And to the men that can't hack it, man, good luck to you too, man. But this ain't dedicated to you.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts worsened by the by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. Vince Lombardi said that. He was a football coach, for God's sake. Yeah, he was even playing for the same stakes, and he thought that. All right, time to check the weather around Marineland. All right. Currently, Quantico, clouds and 57. Camp Lejeune only has 2 weather advisories today. So all that bad weather yesterday, it's gone. Partly cloudy and 70 right now. Let me see what the 2 weather advisories are. There's 3 weather hazards now. I'll get to the bottom of this. Stand by. There's a local pollen alert in effect at Camp Lejeune, a small craft advisory, and a beach hazard statement. That's right. Your BHS, beach hazard statement. Okay, let me explain that to you. Stay away from the beach. Especially East Coast beaches, because they suck generally. If you've ever been to a West Coast beach, East Coast beaches blow. First of all, there's no surf. It's like being at a lake. Like, how do you have like a coastal beach with no surf? Yeah. Then, and they have like logs and shit rolling up on the water, like on the beach. Like, what is going on with that, man? So, anyway. clouds in 60, Granbury, Texas. Clouds in 46 at Big Timber, Montana. Somebody sent me a text yesterday afternoon. Mac, I was crying listening to the Gunner story about going through Kuwait. Now, let me tell you, he told it, like, he gave out additional information yesterday, too. A couple things I hadn't heard. That's an awesome story. Okay? Yeah, that came on the heels of, what do you mean? I always play by the rules. Yeah, the only rules he plays by are his rules. Currently sunny and 70 in 29 Palms. Means it's going to get warm out there. Clouds of 54 at Camp Pendleton and in Okinawa. Dark cloudy 68, so still tracking on yesterday. Marja continues. Dark, clear, 89 degrees in Marja. And clouds of 57 at the home of All Marine Radio. And looking for a high of 67 today under mostly cloudy skies. On Thursday, 67 with partly cloudy skies. And on Friday, 68 degrees under sunny skies. Want to wish my daughter Colleen good luck today. She's swimming in a swim meet. Yeah, down at Saddleback High School. So the Estancia Eagles taking on a Saddleback, whatever the hell they are. They're the Gauchos or something like that. I had a buddy. Oh, no, he didn't go to Saddleback High School. He went to Mission Viejo High School. But, yeah, they thought they were all that back in the day. Trust me, they're not. So stand by to get an ass-whooping from Estancia. Go Eagles. Colleen. That's right. She graduated from the beginner swim team to the JV swim team as a freshman. Getting ready to crush the breaststroke. Got her first legit high school bathing suit. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. So, exactly. Big stuff going on here today. All right, we're going to take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Got to have Turner and the Explosion coming up, courtesy of Bob Nielsen, the patron saint of All Marine Radio. Don't touch that dial, whatever you do.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess beggars can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways.
Time for us to check the news. My ego inflated when I blew sleep, it was confusing. But before we do that, speaking of Vince Lombardi.
Winning isn't everything, but it's the only thing. In our business, there is no second place. Either you're first or you're last.
You might hear that again on Home Marine Radio. Yeah, he was talking about football, okay? He was talking about football. Vince Lombardi. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, he was a head coach of the Green Bay Packers back in the day. And he went to Green Bay when they sucked. Okay? So, this is like when you listen to it now, this is like as counterculture to our culture today as this quote is to the Democratic Party. And I laugh about this because somebody, I read this, and it's true. Can you imagine if a Democrat, all right, stood up at the Democratic National Convention and said this?
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Okay. If somebody at the Democratic National Convention said that, the whole room would like stop and say, "What the fuck did he or she just say? What was that? Like, are you out of your mind? Like, what kind of insanity is that shit?" Right? That's what's so funny about it.
And so, my fellow Americans.
This is a Democrat.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Right? Our culture, we've lost it, man. This used to be, okay, so about the time that guy said that, okay, this guy said this.
Voting isn't everything, but it's the only thing. In our business, there is no second place. Either you're first or you're last.
Ooh. He's talking about football. Yeah. So that might go into the montage. There's a couple of things that I was working on yesterday that are going into the montage. One, J.D. Harrell, I think. I got to find Harrell's comment, but he said, "Mac, you could put a shotgun to my genitals, and I don't know that I could vote for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. I don't know what I'm going to do." Or maybe it was just her. I can't remember. That was pretty funny. Jeremiah Workman, he's got about two or three quotes that need to go into the mix. And what are they? I wrote them down here recently. One is this quote about PTSD advice he got, which I love, which is the oral tradition of the Marine Corps. And because before there was any diagnosis or therapy or any other bullshit, all you had was, you know, veterans giving other veterans advice. And so I wrote down, I saw it yesterday. What the hell did I do with it? Hold on. Everybody relax, for God's sakes, man. Everybody know your role and shut up and just sit there. Yeah, well, I look for my list of quotes. I'll find it. But anyway, he says, "Jeremiah, got to keep those monkeys in the cage. You keep those you let those monkeys out." He's talking about your PTA, post-traumatic stress demons. "All they're doing is running all over the cage, man, raising hell. Keep them in the cage, son. Keep them in the cage." That's the advice. That's how veterans helped other veterans. And again, I have to footnote, you know, where I got, "You'll never get over this." And that's from Lance Y, Gunnery Sergeant, United States Marine Corps. Big as a house. Yeah, and he walks up to me and he says that shit. What? What did you just say to me, Gunny? "Yeah, you'll never get over this." Where'd you hear that? "Vietnam guys told me that." Then he got my attention. "What? Oh, that's just, isn't some dumbass shit that you made up?" No, sir. No. So, but once you give it some thought, like, well, no shit, man. No shit. Email. "Mac, the new term ought to be for those who can't hack it. They halsied it. As in bull halsey, a fucking rash, or any other pussy tap out." Halsey, Emerald, you have a rash. But like every Japanese carrier is like in the Northern Pacific, like in the vicinity of Midway, and you know your flagship, the Enterprise, is sailing. You know, it's not. I mean, come on, it's not like you're going to be on like one of the destroyers or some shit. You know, you're going to be on one of the carriers. You're going to be up in the blue tile area, and you know, it's we got hospitals on the son of a bitch, so you'll be. Oh, my rash is really sore. I don't think I could go. So this is going to be a really big battle. I know, but my rash, it really makes me uncomfortable. All right, do you want me to put you on light duty so you can stay? Yeah, if you don't mind. Halsey, come on, man. I'm thinking, look, you're on an aircraft carrier. Where else? I mean, that's like being in Fresno. No, it's nice. Truth be told, Fresno's a shithole compared to our aircraft carriers, okay? It's like being in Des Moines if you're on an aircraft carrier. Like, what are you going to have mainland that you're not going to have on your aircraft carrier? You know? Your geisha girls? Probably. Okay. I can see that. But I wouldn't see Halsey staying back for that. He's a sailor, man. So, anyway. Yeah. They hauled him. Dropping out. But you know what? What a motivator. You have females in the company now? And you got males dropping out? And you look at them and you're like, get up there, sweetheart. Get your ass up there right now. The only way you're going to fall out is if you smash your nose right into that trail right there. Because you're passing out for some reason. Hopefully because you went through heat exhaustion and you're going into heat stroke and you faint, okay? That's legit because you were out drinking last night and you're a dumbass. Falling out, right, when there was women in this unit and they're doing it and you're not, that ain't, dude, you are never... You will never recover from this, okay? Ever. You won't ever, ever, ever. If you're not first, you're last. Ricky Bobby from Talladega Nights. Holy shit. Okay, first of all you people from Alabama, okay, you got to broaden the lens a little bit, okay? History extends beyond Alabama. And if you're relying on Alabaman culture, you guys are in a world of hurt. Okay? So come to the bright side, okay? The Army's butt hurt. So I noticed a Facebook post by the American Battle Monuments Commission. It's a photo of Trump and Macron planting the Belleau Woods tree. Yeah, you know, that has to piss people off. If I was in the Army, I'd say, oh, wait a minute. The Marine Corps sends two regiments. We send the Rainbow Division. And now we're planting a tree to honor the Marine Corps. Are you shitting me? I started reading the comments, and someone with a huge case of butthurt started ranting about the U.S. Marine Corps propaganda machine and how the 5th Marine Regiment was part of the Army's 2nd Division, how many Army units participated in the battle, how disgraceful it is that there aren't more plaques and monuments commemorating the Army sacrifice at Belleau Woods. I suppose it's the Marine Corps' fault that the Army doesn't take care of their own history. That's from Ohio, man. Hey, yeah, don't get pissed at us, all right? We love ourselves. We love our history. We get after. Look, if you, just testament, if you didn't watch. Oh, shit. I don't know if I posted that. Okay, I'm making a list here. I got some shit I got to get on the website. If you didn't watch Wesley Fox's funeral. You need to watch that. Okay. The pageantry of the Marine Corps. Now, let me tell you, if you want to make people act crazy in any part of the Marine Corps today, and this is how we do it, right? Just say we're going to have a drill competition in the company in a week and watch the insanity that ensues, okay? You'll have every jackass that was ever near a drill field out there. Everybody's getting knife-edged. You know, right? It'll be because that's the way we do it, okay? It's our history. Okay? We revere it in a way that nobody does. Our ceremonies, our history, we're maniacal about it. Yeah. And the Army's not. The Army's not. I went to a dining in while I was a student at the Advanced Officer, at the Advanced Armor Officer course. Okay. So I go to a, we go to a dining in. There's a major general by the name, I think his last, I can't remember his last name. I think it was Thomas, but he was like an armored, like an armored division commander during Desert Storm. So this is after Desert Storm, I think. Yeah. So he's up there talking, and there's all these people are talking in the audience. President Macron is about ready to speak to a joint session of Congress. So I'm sitting there with my Venezuelan helicopter pilot that I had to be the sponsor of because I could speak like half broken Spanish, and I taught him every cuss word known to man. Yeah, he got on a bus one day, and we went and saw some breaching thing. Out at wherever, you know, the Army's going to breach at the armor school. The, you know, here come the tanks, right? They set the perimeter. Here come the engineer bridging assets. Here comes the, bridges in. M1A1 goes blowing across, right? It's awesome. Hotter than shit in Kentucky and whenever the hell it was, July or August. As we're getting on the bus, Jose's in front of me, and these Army guys start ragging on him. Hey, Jose, sit down. Well, you're drawing flies. And he's, and my Venezuelan officer, Marine trained, says, hey, fuck you. Army is pussy. Marine Corps is duro, which is hard in Spanish. They all start laughing. And they're like, wonder who trained him. I'm like, that's right, boys. Just shut it, okay? Everybody shut it. Know your role and shut your pie hole. Jose just nodded his head. That's right, what Mock said. That's right, what Mock said. The, But I, you know, you wonder, like, gonna bring his devil dog tree to the White House. Is there any other branch of service got a tree? No. Sorry. Sorry, boys and girls. Only one branch got a tree on the grounds of the White House. So, that's right. Mac. I fell out yesterday after severing my tendon in the middle finger by way of power tool accident. Oh. Sends a picture. Well, get that sewn up and get in there, bruh. That's a good gas. Hey, that's why God gave you 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, man. You could lose one and still be functional. So suck it up, buttercup. Tape that thing up, get back in there. Finish whatever you were power tooling, by the way. All right. That's right. That's the way that goes. Yeah, you should see the picture. The picture's a good one. Men and power tools, man. You can't make it up. Gifted. Absolutely, positively gifted. Mm-hmm. All right. We're at some point we're supposed to get to the let's talk about our culture though. And then we got started talking about Bull Halsey. Let me say this about the blue tile area of an aircraft carrier. And this is, I know this because when I served on an aircraft carrier for 2 years. Okay. I don't know what levels it was, the 07 and the 08 level. Right, which is like, right, that's like way up, right? So you have the main deck, and then you go up, right? 01, 02, I think that's what we call them. Anyway, when you got to the 06, 07 level, those had, as opposed to like gray tile on the floor that you would see around the ship, they had blue tile on them. Yeah, blue tile, that meant you're not allowed there. You're not allowed to cut through. This is blue tile country. Okay. Normally there was some kind of curtain, to the entrances of the blue tile area. So this is big time living and working areas. You don't belong there. So guess who had to maintain the blue tile area? The sailors? Oh, no. Why not? Because they're slobs. Okay? Who, if you needed something done meticulously on a ship, who would be charged with that? Exactly. Marines. Okay? Who, back in the day when the paymaster came on board ship with a huge can of money, who guarded the paymaster? And why? Marines. We can't have sailors with guns. Are you kidding me? What the hell would happen? Marines, though, yeah, they like their Marines. Okay, so blue tile. So every night, I want to say at about 2100, Marines in PT gear go up to the blue tile. On their hands and knees, right, they strip wax from the blue tile, and then they put wax down on the blue tile. They strip it, I want to say, every third or fourth day. These Marines were specialists in floor waxing, okay? Manual floor waxing. How to strip wax, how to strip wax off, what you put down to strip, how you wipe it off, okay? How long it takes to dry, how long you put down, and then they'd sit there while it dried so no jackass would walk on the blue tile, okay? Because if you want to get into a fight, a fist fight, no, this is no shit. If you want to get into a fist fight on a ship, walk on somebody's wet wax after they've been on their hands and knees laying that stuff down, and so they have to do it again. That'll get you punched straight in the face. Maybe not once either, because there's going to be some anger and velocity behind that punch. Hopefully an adult intercedes after a few punches, but bottom line is the blue tile area. So there's Marines up there every night in their PT gear before they hit the rack, right, waxing the brass that's there or shining the brass that's there with Brasso, okay, and wiping off the nastiness. And then what you have is you would have assholes who transited through the blue tile area, and whether they would mark something on the wall, whether they would, you know, make sure they drug something or scuff their shoes just to create more work. Okay? One night, some maniac, right, threw a Snicker bar down and stomped it into the blue tile. Yeah, literally. Let me just tell you. There was almost an insurrection. It's like, sir, we want to do a stakeout on the blue tile. What? We want to do a stakeout on the blue tile. We want to put an extra camera because if we find this person, we're going to kill him. Wait a minute. What did they do? They took a Snickers bar and they smashed it on. They threw it on the floor and then they smashed it with their foot into the blue tile and they drug it. And the blue tile wasn't very long, right? The passageway laterally was long. But, you know, vertically, north-south on the ship, I don't know. It might have been a compartment, maybe two. So, I don't know, 30, 40, 50, 60 feet. Wasn't that long, I guess, until you're on your knees putting wax down. Yeah, but some crazy person, and they were out of their minds. Sir, we can find them. And when we find them, we're going to kill them. Okay, crazies, that's probably not going to happen. So, yeah, the blue tile area, where Halsey lived. That's what I'm saying. That's the kind of way that he lived. It's like being in Des Moines and he couldn't go to sea. Are you kidding me? Your new website is the shits. Great job. Thank you. That's from the patron saint. Yeah, check out the new website. It's cool, and I think it's utilitarian is what it is. It helps. It works for me, and I hope it works for you. And if you find something wrong with it, let me know. Last night I found that I moved some stuff on a drive that hosts attachments like maps for the battlefield studies. So I had to update links because. It didn't work. So if you find something like that, drop me a line so I can unscrew it because I've migrated some stuff. Anyway, hopefully all that stuff's unscrewed. Yeah. So the blue tile. So Halsey, how could he miss the Battle of Midway? Come on.
I had a rash. Oh.
Anyway. All right. We'll check some news headlines here. There's another email. Mac, I never really gave that any thought, but you know what? That's a silver lining to having women around. If they can do it, there better not be one man that's not hacking it. Because if that's the case, my boot would be so far up their ass, it would be ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Didn't think of that, did you? I didn't. Like, what happens if they don't fall out and you are? All right, news headlines real quick, and then Roger Turner. Vietnam War Marine posthumously awarded Silver Star for fighting off an ambush with a pistol. Pretty amazing story, honestly. You see a picture of a lieutenant. Looks like a guy that I was a lieutenant with, by the name, a guy named Hank Malinowski. His name is Lieutenant Philip Sauer. Was posthumously awarded the Silver Star nearly half a century after his heroic actions cost him his life on April 24th, 1967, 51 years later. Native of Coronado, California. The award was presented to his brothers and sisters by Major General Eric Smith, Commanding General, 1st Marine Division aboard Camp Pendleton. On April 24, 1967, Sauer, a lieutenant patrolling with 1st Battalion 9th Marines, led a five-man squad on a reconnaissance patrol of Hill 861 in the Republic of Vietnam. His patrol was suddenly ambushed from well-placed enemy bunkers and trenches, according to a reading of his award citation. The point man was killed almost instantly. Hill 861 in Vietnam, if I'm not mistaken, is a caisson event. But let me pull up my Google Earth map and verify that fact for you. Sauer ordered his men to withdraw while he lay down covering fire with only his personal sidearm, according to the citation. He was last seen holding his position. He was last seen holding his position in the face of overwhelming enemy fire. General Smith, the officer presiding over the ceremony, described the day as historic, as a historic one for the Marine Corps. 51 years ago today, so the award was presented yesterday. 51 years ago today, a lieutenant named Phil Sauer gave his life so that other Marines might keep theirs. Armed with a .45 caliber pistol, he stood his ground against somewhere north of 30 enemy armed with automatic weapons. Smith said it was Sauer's job as a senior Marine that day to take care of his men, and that he did it with unbelievable courage. Armed with only a pistol against overwhelming forces, Sauer gave his life to save his men. Who does that? General Smith asked. Phil Sauer did that. Recognition of Sauer's heroic actions that day were delayed for nearly a half a century until retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel David Little befriended Sauer's brother and began to dig into the storied lieutenant's last stand on Hill 861. Little researched short published histories by the Marine Corps about the conflict commonly called Green Books, named for the color of their cover. These books covered each year of the war. If you've never seen them, they're green books that the Marine Corps put out. Little came across a short paragraph that described a five-man patrol dispatched to establish an artillery observation post that was established, that was ambushed by a far greater North Vietnamese force that was dug in, well concealed with automatic weapons and grenades. After months of poring through documents, the internet, the National Archives, and news articles, Little was able to track down a survivor from the ambush and Sauer's company commander. But because of time constraints, an awards package had to be submitted by a member of Congress with an accompanying waiver. Yeah, it is near Quezon. There's another picture in the article. The U.S. Marines are silhouetted as they stand on Hill 881 North after a fierce 9-day battle near Quezon. So, yeah, part of that hill complex. It took 9 months total from the day little heard of Sauer's heroism, but the award was finally submitted in January 2016, according to Little. Secretary of the Navy Richard Spencer approved the award in March, more than 2 years after the package was submitted. In attendance at Tuesday's award ceremony was a sole eyewitness, then Lance Corporal William Marks, who provided a statement for Sauer's Silver Star. Marks, an artillery forward observer at the time of the fateful patrol, said in his witness statement, quote, "I didn't meet Lieutenant Sauer until that day. I never met him before. He met him a couple hours before the patrol. Sauer's siblings were in attendance to accept the award. You create bond," this is from his sister, "you create bonds of camaraderie, esprit de corps, and standards of conduct that are so strong that you will let nothing stand in your way of accomplishing your mission." That was Phil. He loved his Marine Corps family, and he took care of his men. He died honoring your core values of honor, courage, and commitment. Yeah, that's written by Sean Snow in Marine Corps Times. Check it out. I'll see it. We're going to have to track people down for that and tell the broader story. And there's a picture of him. Good-looking lieutenant with his gold bars on. Looks like at a range at Camp Pendleton. For those of us that are old enough, you have silhouette targets on wooden stakes, right? White silhouette targets that are on wooden stakes. That's the way we used to do it. So, wow. Pretty humbling, honestly, when you read that kind of stuff. Why officers took sidearms into combat? And I know, yeah, you're supposed to lead and not get involved in shooting, but, you know, if you have to shoot that pistol, you got no chance. Other stories. There's a story, and we're going to talk about advising. We already talked about Ronnie Jackson, Admiral type, and his nomination, yada, yada, yada. that'll go forward. That'll be interesting. We're going to do that in public, evidently. There's a story also in Marine Corps Times. Afghan military trainees in the U.S. keep going AWOL. The Department of Defense reported that as of February, 9 of more than 150 Afghan trainees in the United States who went absent without leave or AWOL across the nation remain unaccounted for. So 9 of the more than 150 went AWOL, 141 have been corralled. Afghan trainees in the United States go AWOL at a rate of 6%. Conversely, trainees from other countries go AWOL at a rate of 0.07%, according to the Special Inspector General for Afghan Reconstruction. Yeah, I don't, you know, honestly, do you blame them? You come from a shithole. You're going to go back to a shithole. You come to the United States, you look around, you're like, I've never even seen anything close to this. I'm going to go back and die in that shithole? Yeah, no, it's do you blame them? Yeah, I guess you can blame them. They broke their word, but, I mean, good God. When you see the way they live and you know, and all of a sudden you come to the United States and you're like, what is this? I saw like bits and pieces of this on TV, but I didn't even know that anything like this even could exist on the planet. My life, I grew up in a mud house. Right? So walls made of mud are, you know, and we were not, you know, a destitute family. Right? My mother never left the compound other than to go to the market. She was escorted. My sisters, once they started their period, they didn't go to the mosque anymore. They stayed and collected firewood, got water with my mom until they were old enough to marry, right? We ate flatbread and then goat and whatever else chicken, whatever else was the custom. And the men, right? The men of the Pashtun tribe ran the show. That's how I grew up. And I got on an airplane and I came here. And now I've seen this. Even the things I've seen in Kabul, I mean, you see things in the United States that, you know, I didn't know there were places like this. And now I'm going to get back and I'm going to go. So, yeah, they should go back, but I sure as hell don't blame them. Top five stories in Early Bird. Turkey awards multi-billion-dollar contract to indigenous Alpay tank. A privately owned Turkish Qatari armored vehicle manufacturer has won a multi-billion-dollar contract for the serial production of the Alpay, Turkey's first indigenous new generation main battle tank in the making. Well, congratulations to the Alpay Corporation. That's a lot of money. Number two, South Korea, U.S. expected to hold summit in mid-May, according to a South Korean official. And the two countries will do that in preparation for to get on the same page about what they'll say when they meet with Mr. Kim. Number three, all four service chiefs on the record. No harm to units from transgender service. All right. In the last 2 weeks, General Miley, Army, General Neller, Navy, Admiral Richardson have told me that they have seen zero reports of issues of cohesion, discipline, morale as a result of open transgender service in their respective service branches, Senator Kristen Gillibrand said, referring to the Chiefs of Staff of the Army, Navy, Marine Corps. But that's not the issue, okay? Okay, the issue is that you're not a widget, that you're not an interchangeable piece if you, one of two things. One, if you suffer from gender dysphoria and you're going to surgically remedy that, okay? In his February guidance to President Trump, Secretary Mattis listed several other limitations on transgender service, including an extension of the amount of time someone would need to be stable in their preferred sex to 36 months and a prohibition on service members who have undergone corrective surgery. Critics have said the gender dysphoria argument is an attempt to keep all transgender personnel from serving because gender dysphoria is a broadly used diagnosis used by the medical community for transgender person and not indicative of a more serious issue. You know what? That's a valid point. That's a valid point. I don't know. I think everybody that would classify themselves as transsexual suffers from gender dysphoria. Okay? So to me, the small segment that chooses a surgical option renders himself unsuitable for military service because they're not a widget. It's all widget related. What you want to be sexually, we don't care about. The four service chiefs, along with the chief of the National Guard Bureau, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, comprise the president's top circle of military advisors. Each service chief's testimony marked an unusual split with the president and defense secretary, Jim Mattis, who have advised that allowing personnel with gender dysphoria to serve would harm unit cohesion and present an unreasonable burden on the military. I think the argument I've seen put forward by the secretary focuses on the unreasonable burden on the military relative to not being deployable. Right? The president's argument is more politically based, so I wouldn't address that here. So I haven't seen the service chiefs comment on, be specifically asked and comment on, do you think it would be appropriate for the military to allow transgender surgery and have those people placed in a limited duty status forever because of hormone treatments or whatnot? Is that a burden the military should take on? I would say that they would say no. That's unreasonable for you to expect us to do that. Do you think it's reasonable that somebody should go on light duty for multiple years in order to surgically remedy their gender dysphoria? I think the response to that is, I don't believe that burden should be placed on the military. And it has nothing to do with that person's desire to be whatever they want to be. It has everything to do with you being a deployable widget. And if you go into that status for an extended period of time, whether it's your knee, your shoulder, your head, or whatever, we don't need you. And the military is pretty consistent. So I think when you apply that to this issue, I think you get the answer you get. Now, that may not be the answer that advocates want, but I think that's the honest answer. I think it's a fundamentally different question when you say, is there a unit cohesion issue? You know, is there a chemistry problem with having these people around? The answer to that is clearly no. And again, so when you see in the Department of Defense, when you see the estimate of there's 13,000 transgender people in the Department of Defense, you see that number, you're like, what? I've never even heard of one. How the hell is there 13? Right? And then as Marines, we would all say, the Navy, man, killing us. Okay, but all kidding aside, what you would have is you would have people that are affected by gender dysphoria would categorize themselves as quote-unquote transgender people. Now, do they seek a surgical remedy? You know, the vast majority, overwhelmingly, no. So, anyway, so that in news. Senate confirms new cyber command and head of the NSA. The National Security Agency by voice vote, so it was kind of a non-issue. Lieutenant General Paul Nakasone, N-A-K-A-S-O-N-E. Not sure if the E is a soft or a hard E, but congratulations to them. An F-16 from Luke Air Force Base in Arizona crashed. Pilot was in stable condition. Overseas operations, a few headlines. U.S.-led coalition. ISIS may be resurgent on Russia's turf, but not on ours. So, interesting. Interesting. Now, again, ISIS, whatever you want to call, ISIS is a Sunni event, right? Sunnis represent the majority of people in Syria. So ISIS fighting Assad Sunnis fighting Assad and fighting the Russians would be a natural, that's a natural fight that's going to happen. Okay? I think they make a mistake by embracing the ISIS banner. They should find a different banner to be under. The ISIS banner is not a good banner. Why Syria may be the most aggressive electronic warfare environment on Earth. Interesting stuff. Electronic warfare becoming more and more prevalent in, you know, as we kind of dance around the peer thing. And I want to talk about that. I'm going to see if I can get some comm guys to come on, some retired comm guys to come on and talk about how do we communicate? We have all this satellite comm. We've existed in a largely permissive environment in Iraq and Afghanistan where we set up these microwave shots. You know, we shoot PowerPoints everywhere. We share video. We have data links up. What happens when all that goes away? Whether it be through jamming or we can't trust it because they penetrated the our system and now they're manipulating it, right? And so now the satellites get zapped, so pull your compass out, boys. No more GPS. Okay, they get zapped. You know, how does it work? Do we go back to, you know, World War II style? Lensatic compasses? You light off a radar, you're going to get a missile fired at the source, so you can't light it off for very long. I'm not sure how it works. I'm kind of curious. You know, I'm kind of curious. Trump backtracks on Syria after talks with French leaders. So much for, this is from the Associated Press. Again, that's Donald Trump, like, being Donald Trump. And I think what he's trying to do is trying to get money out of the Saudis, the Jordanians. This is from Associated Press. So much for an abrupt U.S. pullout from Syria. 1 month ago, President Donald Trump surprised many, including some of his own administration, by announcing, we'll be coming out of Syria very soon. Very soon. Let other people take care of that. But on Tuesday, you know what? When Gunnar gets bored, he starts, he emails the show, and he talks about himself. Here's an email from him entitled Gunner. He should get a different email to do this. It would sound much more legit. That Gunner is a real great guy, isn't he? You must be lucky to be his friend. Let me tell you, he's an awesome guy. He is. Mike's fun. Right? And then if you notice, all my friends tend to be the same way. They're moderately combustible, they're smart, and they're funny. Right? So, Mike is a great guy. But he's not that great a guy, okay? Because let me tell you what a great guy is. A great guy is somebody when you say, hey, man, you know the bike that you don't ride? I ride. Can I have that bike? No. Why not? Because I want it in my garage to collect dust. Okay. That's not a great guy. Okay. Let me tell you what a great guy is. Hey, Gunner, what are you doing? I'm in the hospital. What's wrong? I don't know. They're doing tests. You know, they tested me for, they're going through this test for cancer. I might need a kidney. I mean, if I need a kidney, will you give me your kidney? Yeah, I got two of them. You can have one of mine. That's a great guy. That was our conversation. That was me. He's not a great guy. Can I have your bike? No. Can I have your kidney? Yeah, no problem. Yeah, that's a pile. Okay, anyway, back to Trump and Syria. The president said at a White House news conference with French President Emmanuel Macron at his side that before the U.S. withdraws from Syria, quote, we want to leave a strong and lasting footprint. This long-term approach, he added, was a very big part of his conversations with Macron, who told reporters, the French screwed it up 100 years ago, by the way, told reporters that he and Trump now agree that the Syria problem involves more than Trump's priority of ridding the country of Islamic State extremists. Exactly. What do we do after we get those jackasses out there? Right? Then we got to deal with Assad. But see, that's good because this is a better American policy, right? They're with our allies, and so we simply don't let the Russians have their way, okay? We don't let the Russians have their way. We don't let the Iranians have their way. We stay in the area, and we're a burr in their ass, okay? The Russians are trying to cool that sumbitch out, and now it ain't going to happen because the Americans aren't leaving. God damn it. Right? And now we've got ISIS that isn't fighting on the east side of the Euphrates and the north side of the Euphrates because it kind of makes an L there in Syria. So you could be on both the east and the north side. It's actually the same side, but it appears different. So anyway, I say that for those of you with some sense of geography. Anywho, so the Russians are like, shit, just what we needed. ISIS on our side of the river, making our lives more miserable than they already are. Because we're trying to unass Syria, okay? Or else we're going to get caught in Afghanistan again. Exactamundo, my friends. So what we do is we stay on our side of the river, right? It stays cool. We rebuild the cities, or at least begin that. They're stable. People are safe, right? We get the Kurds and the Turks to cool the fuck down, right? And sign some kind of political agreement where everybody can play together. Not sure how that happens, but that's at least something that's on the agenda. And then you let, right? Then you let the Sunnis eject both the Iranians and the Russians out of there because they're the majority of the population. Any kind of regime change in Syria that keeps an Alawite in power is not going to last. It's simply a transition to the Sunnis taking back that country. And when the Sunnis take it back, the Iranians and the Russians are out. If you've noticed the overture, subtle, although we talked about it, I think, last week, Saudi Arabia, for the first time in its history, allowed Israel to overfly its airspace. What? Why is that? Why would the Saudis, because their hate and their fear of what Iran is becoming in the region, will allow it to do the unthinkable, and that is have a closer relationship with Israel? Exactly. You talk about mother of all head scratchers. Not so much, though, when you look at they hate Iran. Iran is sending the missiles to Somalia that are getting shot at Riyadh. Yeah. So, anyway. So that's kind of an interesting little story there. Yeah, it's all in the footnotes. It's all in the footnotes. Ahead of summits is another Associated Press story. U.S. tones down war games with South Korea. In a big shift, Trump assesses Kim Jong-un as, quote, very honorable. All right. Trump warns Iran will pay if it restarts its nuclear program. Yeah, memo to the Iranians. When you, like, are going to call, you're going to talk shit with Donald Trump, I'm not sure you can win that argument. He doesn't know when to stop. He's that kid. All right. Roger Turner coming up. Marines print 3D replacement part for F-35 landing gear. Marines with Combat Logistics Battalion 31. That would be CLB 31 for all of you logistic leathernecks. Marines and Combat Logistics Battalion 31 of the 31st Marine Expeditionary Unit utilize additive manufacturing to speed up the repair of the aircraft, saving both time and money. This is crazy shit, all right? 3D printing is really manufacturing. It ain't printing, okay? Printing happens on a piece of paper. What they do is they take materials, and in this quote-unquote printer, they manufacture a part. The U.S. Marine Corps is breaking new technological ground with 3D printing, recently finding a way to combat a lack of spare parts and slow production turnover by printing a part for an F-35 Lightning II aircraft. Yeah. Last week, Marines with CLB 31 of the 31st MU out of Marine Corps bases in Japan announced that they are capable of additive manufacturing of temporary parts to aid in sustained operations through 3D printing. I think 3D printing is definitely the future. It's absolutely the direction the Marine Corps needs to be going in, said Marine Corps Sergeant Adrian Willis, said in a press release. Yeah, how about that? Printing out spare parts for your aircraft. Holy shit, man. What are the odds that thing actually stays in there and works?
All right.
And then let me, a quick glance at Stars and Stripes, because it's my favorite periodical. Top of the fold headline, military sexual assault reports jump 10%. I would say this about that. Like domestic violence, as the stigma of reporting comes down, you have to do, I think, a lot of research to find out if this is just, if this is due to people being more comfortable reporting, or is it an actual uptick in the rate? So, anyway, that's top of the fold headline. This is kind of an issue, and there's a headline, and then we'll go to a break here, and then Roger Turner coming up next. Show's going to run a little bit late today, just so you know. The show's probably going to run closer to 11 o'clock. Yeah, how about that? here's another email. Did Gunner really send you an email saying that about himself? Yeah. Yeah, this is his email. Diver X. All right, I won't give you his full email address. But, yeah, Gunner's a great guy. Headline, Army leaders cut some mandatory training and other, quote-unquote, burdensome requirements. This is an agenda item for Secretary Mattis. Because the litany of mandatory tasks that get handed to operating forces is a joke. And what most units do is like, for instance, you come back after New Year's, right? Everybody's hungover. Nobody really wants to work. So what you do is you do all these mandatory classes in a day. Get everybody in the gym. It starts at 08 and it goes to 1700. Get the smoking awareness, the suicide prevention, sexual assault coordinator, whatever the hell else we have to do, workplace safety, get every one of their asses in there, get everybody's name on the roster, and knock it out, okay? Because we're not doing anything else that day. Nobody wants to work. The Army is eliminating online training programs and a leave planning requirement as part of a broader push to reduce tasks that take away from time spent on combat readiness. Army Secretary Mark Esper ended three online mandates this month, media awareness, combating trafficking in persons, and the accident avoidance course. It also lifted several requirements related to unit safety programs and inspection. So it'll be interesting to see what gets eliminated and what does not get eliminated. The memos eliminated some headquarters-level requirements, such as the use of travel risk planning system or TRIPS. I guess you have to do that when you go on leave. You can't just go on leave and, like, hey, I'm on leave. You have to plan it. You have to tell the Army you've thought it through. The Army said that TRIPS was a burdensome requirement and it necessarily weighs down. Hey, let me just tell you what. You know, now when Marine units do safety stand-downs, right, before, you know, you'd like, hey, go out and make sure everybody's blinkers work, everybody's got the registration, you know. Now it's, you know, show me your car insurance, show me. And you get your ass chewed if I get my ass chewed if you don't have your, if your car insurance isn't up to date. Are you shitting me? That's his problem, okay? What am I, his, do I get to declare him on my taxes too for crying out loud? What a joke. Make sure his headlights work. Make sure his radio works. Make sure his cell phone works. Okay? And then send him on his way. He's an adult or she's an adult. It's ridiculous, that bullshit. Did the Gunner Montana Man help you with your website? Please. The Gunner's trying to do a website. It's like a caveman scratching on the side of a wall in France. The yeah. So, it, like I said, it's interesting to see what will get shit canned. All right. In all, 8 documents were required to take leave in the United States. 4 times the paperwork that he had to file to fly missions over the largely Taliban-controlled Kandahar province. That's awesome. 8 documents to go on leave. I mean, how is that like the stupidest shit you've ever heard in your life? Anyway. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear Roger Turner. And we're kind of going to build to the comm environment for the next war. Like, I mean, if the satellites are the first thing that goes, then we don't have, I mean, look, if we're going to fight the Chinese or the Russians, let's fight the Russians because we'll beat the shit out of them. We'll beat the shit out of the Chinese too. Like, where are we going to fight the Chinese? Huh? How are they going to get there? That dinky ass Navy they have? No. Maybe we'll fight them in India. They better hope not, because India's got the same size population, and they're pissed, okay? They're pissed because they've got cows and monkeys walking all over the place. India's nasty, for God's sakes. Yeah, so they like, hey, let's go fight the Chinese. And the Indian people would be like, yeah, let's go kick their ass. Holy shit. Two stories in Stars and Stripes. Osama bin Laden's alleged ex-bodyguard receives $1,400 a month from German taxpayers. Not only, you know what? I accuse the Germans of freeloading on NATO. That's the least of their transgressions, man. The Germans are actively subsidizing terrorists. All right? Osama bin Laden's bodyguard is on German, right? Is on a German social program. Okay, we need to check our vetting system. What? Vetting? That sounds like Trump. Here's another. Again, you want to know why the Navy didn't take care of the blue tile? And you want to know why the Navy didn't stand security guard at their own bases and threw a fit when Marines were going to get pulled off those bases and sailors were going to do that? Here's why. Sailor charged with possessing 20 hand grenades stolen from the USS Pinckney. What? A sailor was arrested Tuesday morning on suspicion of possessing 20 military hand grenades that had been stolen from a San Diego-based Navy destroyer, explosives that were later found abandoned on the side of a freeway in Arizona. Gunner's mate, second class, Aaron Booker, 31, is charged with 1 count of possession of stolen explosives in a San Diego federal complaint that was unsealed Tuesday. He was arrested by NCIS in Great Lakes, Illinois, where he is now stationed. The shipment of 60 Mark III A2 concussion grenades arrived on January 20th aboard the Pinckney. January 20, 2016, aboard the Pinckney, an Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyer ported at San Diego. According to the complaint, the explosives were packaged 22 a crate, labeled Golf 911 grenades. Each contained about a half a pound of TNT. They were stored in a secured locker, with the only access given to gunner's mates, who would daily check the temperature in the unit. About a year later, in February 2017, a routine inventory revealed the bottom crate had a missing seal and 20 missing grenades. The 15 sailors who had access at the time were each interviewed, and each allowed NCIS agents to search their vehicles and homes, but the searches yielded nothing of use. Some of the sailors in their interviews, however, indicated Booker had been angry with his commanding officer and the entire chain of command aboard the Pinckney due to a previous disciplinary matter, according to the complaint. When the grenades were discovered missing, Booker was in the process of transferring to his new command at Great Lakes. In March, about a week into his new post, NCIS agents interviewed him about the missing explosives. He denied seeing them, opening the crates, or ever having trained with them, the complaint states. About a month later, the grenades turned up, or most of them. An off-duty Orange County Sheriff's deputy was driving on I-15 in northwest Arizona and spotted a backpack leaning against a guardrail on the side of the road. The black backpack was standard issue military with GM2 Booker handwritten on an inside tag. Oops. Arizona Highway Patrol officers and the FBI found inside 18 grenades with the same lot number as the missing explosives. Oops. In a second interview, Booker admitted that the bag was his and that he'd taken the route, but said that the backpack had been stolen from him about a year ago after he'd left it in the Pinckney's armory. He stated that he was especially upset about the theft because the bag had a GM pin on the front, and that was hard to replace, a gunner's mate's pin. A search of his home in Illinois turned up the GM pin that he said was on the bag. He acknowledged it was the same pin, according to the complaint. A day later, Booker called an NCIS agent and reported that he'd made several inquiries into the grenade, about the grenades with people in San Diego, and directed agents to look in Tijuana for the last two. He said his former motorcycle club was associated with people who had connections to the, quote, cartel, and that the grenade, this just gets keeping better. It's like a soap opera. And the grenades were stolen at the request of the cartel. He also continued to deny stealing the grenades, but admitted going into the box at one point to confirm the grenades were present, the complaint states. Okay, you don't go into sealed ammunition boxes to confirm that everything's present, because if they're sealed and they're wired, like they always are, that means nobody's gone into it. And, oh, by the way, they're banded. A search of Booker's phone found that he conducted a Google search for G-911 grenade on January 25th, watched a YouTube video about the grenades, and did another Google search, the complaint says. There you have it. Doesn't pay. Crime doesn't pay, okay? Crime doesn't pay. All right, Roger Turner coming up next. It'll make you smart. He's a smart guy, and so hopefully he'll make you smart. He got, as I said, he had a conversation, sat down. Well, so let me introduce this. Turner, infantry guy, battalion commander with 3-7 in Ramadi in 2006, I believe, or thereabouts. Regimental commander of the 5th Marine Regiment when it replaced the 1st Marine Regiment in the fall of 2011 in Helmand Province of Afghanistan. He goes back to Helmand as a brigadier general, leader of Task Force Southwest, that went to Afghanistan almost a year ago, not quite a year ago, to reassume the advise mission of the 215th Corps of the Afghan Army that was getting beat down in Helmand. So he came back from that. He appeared with Michael O'Hanlon, big shot at Brookings, and they did about an hour interview. I'll put that slide up right now on the website, and we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Don't touch that dial. Boom.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure, We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Country music.
I never felt as helpless as I do today.
Tracy Lawrence.
My world just fell without me as I watched you drive away. There's nothing left between us. Somehow we've grown apart. Well, I've got it through my head. I just can't break it to my heart. I can't believe me on the hurting side of things, sifting through the ashes, still trying to find the flame, but the flames have turned to embers, they're flowing in my heart.
Here it comes.
Cause I've got it through my head, I just can't break it to my heart.
You know, I was watching on TV during the commercial, the end of, it was, what the hell? We don't need the barbershop music in Fallujah, the flame music of President Macron. Can you imagine you're going to go speak to a joint session of the United States Congress? Right? And he was a schmo. He's a novice politician. 2 years ago, he's a businessman. And now, you wake up this morning. I'm not sure he slept well last night. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. And you, whoever you are, you're going to go address a joint session of the American Congress. You're going to stand at the spot where Franklin Roosevelt gave his Day of Infamy speech. Yeah. Where all kinds of world history has been made.
Got it through my head. I just can't break it. to my heart. I would stand back the hands of time and we see scattered memories like a flutter in my mind. I'll pick up where we left off and make a brand new start. Cause I've got it through my head, I just can't break it to my heart. I can't believe this is me on the hurting side of pain, sifting through the ashes, still trying to fire the flame. But the flame that turned to embers, left glowing in the dark.
Hold it, hold it!
I've got it through my head, I just can't break it to my heart. Oh, I've got it my head, I just can't break it to my heart. I just can't break it to my heart. I just can't.
If you can dance, this is good dance of music, like right here.
I just can't break it to my heart.
And I can dance, dude, just so you know. Exactly. You're not a baller if you can't dance. I had three sisters, man. My oldest sister out in the living room. Look, when I went to high school, she got me and my friends and like, look, you losers, all right? You're going to go to dances when my friends are here? We're not going to stand around anymore. You losers are going to dance with us. I'm like, what? We don't know how to dance. All right, well, here's how it works. You feel the bass? Yeah, that's how you keep rhythm, because we're not dancing with idiots, okay? Okay. Yeah, my older sister Peggy, out in the living room at 40 Tristan Circle, teaching me and my friends how to dance. Okay, and then when you get confused, watch American Bandstand in the morning, right? You can get some moves out of there, okay? It's about the rhythm. Don't be an idiot. Okay, Roger Turner, okay, is... and for all you people that text me when I'm singing telling me to stop, it doesn't work that way, okay? I'm the president of All Marine Radio for a reason, okay? Yeah. And look, I've won national awards for doing radio. You could look that shit up. 2007 Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters for Small Market Personality of the Year. At their Heisman Trophy dinner in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's right. That's big NASCAR country, in case you don't know. Yeah. They don't have Disneyland. They have a Cabela's. Yeah. That's where rednecks go to buy fishing and hunting shit. And they like, they walk through the door, they're like, oh man, look at this. So anyway, we fly to Charlottesville, and I get told like, I'm like, well, I don't want to fly down there if I'm not going to win. And they said, just fly down, okay? So Glenn Beck's there, Sean Hannity's there, all these big shots are there, right? So they introduce me. I win, boom, up on the stage. It's like the Academy Awards. We walk in and Catherine says, Dad, it's like the Academy Awards. Boom, and I go up there. And, you know, and I'm from North Dakota, right? So they introduce me and they say, you know, after two combat tours in Iraq, you know, Mac, is, you know, he's does talk radio, blah, blah, blah. So I get this big ovation, right, from this huge room of people. So I get up there and I said, first of all, thank you. I can't tell you what an honor this is. But before I say thank you, are there any Boston Red Sox fans here? And all these people like, yeah! And I said, you guys suck, so shut up. And the place went crazy. Yeah. Yeah, I hate you and I hate Boston, just for the record. All right. Anyway, then I said thank you, and I got off the stage. But, yeah, so I look, I don't come here without credentials, okay? This is not just like, in case you haven't noticed, if you hear people that do podcasts, like, good morning, welcome to our podcast, episode number 304, me and Woody. Say hi, Woody. Hey, everybody, this is Woody. Just got done mowing my lawn. Going to go trout fishing this afternoon. Me and Woody are going to talk about, it's just like, come on, man. This is legit. Okay, in case you don't know, this is legit. So, that's right. Yeah, you can look that shit up. I have it. In fact, I have the trophy someplace around here. At least I did. Did somebody steal my trophy, my Marconi Award? Holy no, it's right there. Yeah, small market personality of the year. Marconi. Yeah, Marconi. He invented radio. Figured out there, sports fans. So yeah, that's why I sing, because I'm legit. That what that trophy did, that's right. It said it validated everything I do. So you don't like it? You could lump that shit. That's right. Got that straight out of kindergarten. This is not supposed to be happening. What do you want?
Hey, am I on the radio right now?
What do you think? No, you're not. It's just you and me talking. What's up?
Yeah, right. Hey, I'm calling out of pure, like, I'm feeling really bad for you right now because I heard that segment of you talking, and you're doing like the 1920s radio voiceovers, man.
I know.
Hey, Woody, what is it? Come over here, Johnny. Hey, Gino, you know, and don't do the girl's voice because that sounds like Mickey Mouse. But, dude, are you okay this morning? Because, like you said, I was listening. I'm like, oh, man, so he's bored because talking in all these different voices.
You were thinking this is a cry for help, weren't you?
Yeah. And, by the way, that email, even though, I don't know, someone must have hacked into my stuff, man.
You got hacked? That shit happens.
Must have. Yeah, someone stole my identity. Everybody's always trying to steal my identity, actually.
I know. Well, who wouldn't want to be you, even if they could only be you online?
That's better than, that's better than being you. So.
I don't know about that.
I mean, not you, but I'm saying as in the person, you know, like if they wanted to, it's better than being that person, you.
Hold on. Let me read you an email I got about 15 minutes ago, but I didn't read. Mac, did he really ask you for a kidney? Yeah, he was in the hospital.
Oh,
he was in the hospital, and so he sent a text that said,
"I was drugged up."
He sent a text and he said, "Yeah, they're screening me for cancer." And what was it? What were you in the hospital for? Why were you? What caused that?
My the kidneys weren't functioning correctly.
Yeah, so he's in the hospital.
Something in my blood, yeah.
Right. And so he said they're testing me for cancer. So it's like I pick up the phone and say, you know, and then I start yelling at him about not that he doesn't PT, because he doesn't. And this is like a few months.
I do now.
This is a few months after that he's already said no, that he won't give me his bike. He said, but if I need a kidney, will you give me one of your kidneys? I said, yeah, man, you can have one of my kidneys. Right. Okay, so that would make him a what? A piece of shit. Okay.
Okay, no. So now, Your Honor, let me have my rebuttal. Okay. So, yeah. First of all, context. I was on drugs. I don't even remember this conversation.
Oh, here
second.
We go.
And that would hold up in a court anywhere because I was on some painkillers. So, second. You have two kidneys.
Yeah.
I only have one bike like that.
No, you have more than one bike like that.
No, that one.
No, don't. Stop. Don't go down the road.
Each one
okay.
Is different.
Thank you. My kidneys are different. Okay. My kidneys
no,
are different.
The same.
No, they're not the same. They're not. They can't be identical. They're two different organs. Okay. So it's
you
the
can,
same.
And you can function on one kidney. I can't.
It's
you can't
same.
Function on, like one bike's for sprinting, one bike's for long distance, one bike. I mean,
stop
they
it.
All have,
stop it. All you, just, hey, all you're doing. All you're doing is showing people what an ass you are, okay?
No, people just don't understand.
And now you're not going to share your discount with Montana Man, and he's not real happy.
Okay.
And I
explained why I couldn't do that, because he set it up again, and I'm like, oh, he's not going to let this one go. Okay. I would if I could. And my discount, and here's my discount. It would be free. But I don't like taking advantage of that. And the reason being is he's just recently donated four custom-built rifles for auction for fallen officers' families. We're going to have an auction for the Fallen Brother Fund. So, I mean, I hate going back to the well. You know, it's like I just don't like to do it unless it's for a good cause. And I've never done it for me.
Okay, now, assuming that all that stuff that you told me is true, okay?
Exactly.
I only because we've gone down this path before. Then you should tell him that, okay? When you dismiss it, when you dismiss it as yeah, I don't get a discount. We know that, okay?
No.
We know that.
I said when he said, "What about a discount?" I said, "No."
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you should have explained it.
I didn't get a discount. I don't. Like going to that.
That's fine. You know what? I don't have any problem with that, and neither would he. But I think you need to explain it because when you just say a no, then it sounds like you're a bigger dick than you already are.
Oh, no, I'm not a dick. The thing is, you guys know I'm not a dick to you guys. I am a dick to other people. Now, let me rephrase that. Yeah. I'm not a dick to my friend. I will take, you know that. I've done hurdles for my friend. Through flaming hoops.
I know. I think you need to explain it.
I didn't think I had to explain to my good friends.
Oh, you do.
They were my good friends.
Oh, you do. You need to explain.
Then you know what?
Then we're not really friends.
That hurts me really, really deep.
You'll get over it. You're young. Okay, now.
Well, I'm already over it. But that email.
Where are you headed today? Why are you calling me? This is your day off. You're screwing up the show.
I know, but
this
I don't have
it. Show's out of
like control. Like a 1920s radio.
You were driving down the road laughing your ass off, and you're like, I got to be a part of this. Where's my phone?
Yeah. And you know, next thing I was going to hear was like the sound effects, you know, like the bent saw hammering on, boing, boing, you know, whatever. You know, get all the beep, 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 up, up, whatever the sound effects were going on. I was like, oh, man, I can't let him do this to himself. Hey, good email, by the way, from Luke. Man, that kid is spot on.
What did he say?
I mean, really good about the pistol. He gave me a really good detailed.
Did you see the video that he sent?
Yeah. Here's the problem.
Hey,
let
me tell you about Luke. Luke got drunk the other night and started emailing me, like in the middle of the night. I didn't read them all. And then he apologized for what he read, what he said. He goes, hey, Mac, I want to apologize. I got drunk. I started drunk emailing you. It's pretty unprofessional. I'll get my shit together. And then, so once I read that, I said, well, I better go back and read those emails. They must have been good, huh? And they're like typical, like drunk Marine emails. They're awesome. Like, bro. You're part of the tribe. You don't need to. The best stuff we do.
Yeah,
is,
you don't have to
apologize. For that, that's all good. As long as you don't mind us making fun of you for the stuff you say when you're drunk, it's hilarious.
Yeah, Luke.
When we're.
You see what friends have to go through, and friends have to identify themselves, like the way they treat me.
The only thing, when you have like a friend that's drunk ranting, do you think we say, hey, man, be cool. You're drunk. Stop ranting? That's not how we do it. We just continue to chum.
You've never seen me drunk.
We just continue to chum the water. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
he is an asshole.
Me.
What? I've not seen
you've
you.
You've never seen me nor hurt me.
I've never seen you drunk. You've never seen me drunk. I've never seen Rudy drunk. I've never seen Montana Man drunk. I've never seen Napa Man drunk. Kind of an interesting little endeavor there for Marines.
Yeah.
What's that?
It would take a keg of beer to get him drunk.
You're right. I want Napa Man and I want Napa Man and Rudy to go to the Yankee Angel game, I think Saturday night. Bring their sons. We'll do father and son at the baseball game night. I'm not sure it'll happen, but I'm going to put that out.
Why don't you all three go, and then you can play grandpa, Rudy can play dad, and Luke can play son.
Why? I have my son. My son will go.
I like the other one better, where you play grandpa, Rudy plays dad.
Well, my grandson's not here, or else I would play grandpa. What do you like? Do you think, like, calling me a grandpa is, like, that's somehow derogatory or demeans me? And let me just tell you, so for every grandpa that's listening to this, and every grandma that's listening to this, I have something to say to you. Fuck you, man.
I'm not using.
Yeah, you did. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Don't try to get out of it, because you do this shit, and then people say, oh, he's not a dick. You are a dick. That grandpa comment, why are you anti-grandpa or anti-grandma?
See, you flared it all the way over to the other side.
Oh, they could play. Yeah. They could do father-son. You could do grandpa. And when my grandkid's not here.
No, I'm just saying because of the age groups, you know? Rudy's a little bit older than Luke. Luke's the youngest. I think Luke's younger than me. Luke's right now going, you think I'm younger than you? I'm freaking definitely younger than you.
He drove those little tires right into the ditch.
Don't climb on the brake, Luke. You'll go through that rubber and arc.
There's not very much on those tires. All right, what are you going? Where are you headed today? Where are you at right now?
Hoff Brown Steaks.
Oh, really? Who are you meeting? What are you doing?
I'm meeting like the regular group of guys, Biff. I don't know if Buck will be here. Buck's checking out of town, but the regular group. If you ever get your ass down here, then you'd know all these people. You'd be like,
I'll get the
regular group.
I'll get down there.
When you're like, oh yeah, the regular group.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, but when you Biff, you don't talk about Biff that much, right? You talk about Ron, right? Everybody knows
Ron Ralph
and Buck's Boot Barn. We know Buck the most. And and then we know Tina. And we know Megan. And what's your dog's name?
Well, then you know. And Blitz, my dog.
Blitz?
Yeah.
Like B-L-I-T-Z? Blitz?
Like Blitz.
Blitz. B-L-I-T-Z.
Yes.
Oh. Why'd you name your dog Blitz?
A couple reasons.
Okay.
One, I like that name. Two, he's a German Shepherd. It's kind of got that German, thing to it, right?
Blitzkrieg, that connotation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Three.
Yeah.
When I was fapped out to military police.
Ugh.
When I was a young corporal.
Yeah. For
we went through
for
military.
For both weeks till you gave the master sergeant shit for getting a massage from one of the female Marines?
No, that was. Yeah, well, that was the other story about the one chick that used her sexuality to
advance
to garner
her
favor. Yeah, big time. And I called her out, and then later Buff didn't like that. But when we were going through the military police school, the training, the insert, the in training,
right.
You go through all this. And
right.
One of them was you had to gear up and let the dog go after you. So you were in the pack,
Right.
And you had to run, and then the dog comes in and bites you.
So just
the
everybody
dog
knows,
that chased you was named Blitz.
Oh, you're talking like you put on the Michelin suit, and then you take off running, and they're all
run
yelling,
like the bull.
"Run, Forrest, run!" And then they stick the dog on your.
And you can't run in a Michelin suit. You can just like stagger with your arms sticking out to the side. And then Blitz hit me. I mean, there's a lot of material. And Blitz hit me in the back. And let me tell you something. When my back, your back is flat, you kind of think in your mind, like, what can bite you in the back, like straight on? Blitz could. Blitz bit me in the back, took me down, and had the bite strength to still pinch the suit with my skin and make it bleed. And it hurt like hell. Because not only was he biting me, he was pinching me with all the suit. And in the back, the middle of the back. And Blitz was one of those German Shepherds that, and he may have been an Alsatian or a Belgian Malinois, something. Ooh. But he was mean looking, and he was so like intense. The whole tip of his tongue had been chewed through. It was just frayed.
That's intense. When you chew through your tongue, that's intense. Even I know
that. When you're biting, yeah. When you're biting.
Okay.
I'll never forget that dog Blitz.
Okay, before I let you go to your big time lunch, tell me, how do you think it would work if you were the company gunny and you had male Marines falling out of your hike and you had female Marines in your company and they were making the hike? How would that go over well?
No, Matt, because I see Marines not as gender, race, or creed. I look at all Marines as Marines. So
No bearing.
No, because I don't see them as females or males.
I just see them as Marines. You know what? You are an enlightened human being. And I just want to tell you how much I respect you for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Look, tell everybody we said hey. Have a great lunch.
Okay. Talk to her.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if you believe anything that guy says, okay, you're dumber than a fence post. Oh, my God. That's too funny. Yeah, I don't have two of the same bikes. I have three, but they're all a little bit different. See, that's the kind of game he plays. Oh, and then, like, Montana Man, you know, Gunner's got discounts with everybody, okay? He's got a million guns, and he gets most of them for free or at cost, okay? And if you ask him, he doesn't pay retail for anything. Montana Man says, hey, can you hook me up, man? Can I get it? Gunner's like, no. Like, okay, that, you need to footnote it, okay? If you're going to reel in and not introduce somebody, come on, man. Be a guy. Help a brother out. And then you have to footnote it with the, hey, he just donated this, and I don't feel comfortable doing that. Hey, I got it, okay? So now that means if you won't help me get the discount, you need to pay for it, Gunner. And then he should pay for it, okay? Yeah, that's how that shit works. So, yeah, this is, we are 2 hours and 8 minutes into this program, and I haven't even, like, started the show yet. So, this is wrong. Okay, so we'll take a break. I'll come back. I'll reset the program. Roger Turner, you're going to hear from him. And that's going to be the way this thing operates today. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio on a wacky Wednesday. Coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.